the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, Brains, and welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney. Here, I need to show you. This is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Today, we have Sharon Coyle Saheed, all the way from Jersey, okay? All the way from Jersey. No, she wasn't on Jersey Shores. But Brains, let me tell you about this young woman, okay? It's unbelievable. I don't even know if she has time to pee, okay? She works with grief recovery, people in trauma, hospice care, holistic LMSW, which I'm under the impression that that's some sort of clinical work, functional wellness coach, Reiki master, EFT, which is that's emotional freedom technique. She's the founder of an organization, acupuncture therapist, integrated energy therapist, caring for hospice care for Central New Jersey. I mean, really? And on top of all of that, Brains, she is living with a very, very debilitating illness, okay? IBD, irritable bowel syndrome. She's going to explain the difference, and we're going to try to go through, you know, how she does this and still keeps a beautiful smile on her face. She's absolutely beautiful. Brains, help me welcome her to the Edge. There she is right there, Sharon Coyle Saheed. Hello, how are you?
Hello, Brains. Hello, April.
How are you?
We've had I'm doing well. Thank you so much.
Yeah, because you was a sick baby, and then you know that it was just trying. So I'm so glad that you're here and that you are going to tell us all the wonderful things you're doing. But girl, how do you even come up for air? Really?
I keep busy a lot, and honestly, a lot of those certifications and degrees actually were and actually my degree too was from a hospital bed. So I had a lot of time on my hands.
Wow. Introduce my Brains to you, precious, and tell them just how you blossom in the world.
I think it's best to just kind of maybe even go back a little bit, if that's okay.
Absolutely.
Back a little bit in time. Cause I call it my journey, you know, from illness to wellness, and wellness being, you know, the state that I'm in now. Am I in perfect health? I don't even know what that is, but I'm definitely a lot, heck of a lot better than I was last year. So we can only get better and better each moment, each week, each month, each year. So I take it like that. But my journey began a long time ago, many moons ago, in I would say around 1990, and I was diagnosed. Well, I was in theater, and I was kind of like groomed to, I had a manager and all this stuff, and was going to go on tour with Camelot in this New England tour. And in 1990, I just got this intestinal virus that didn't go away. It was relentless. And it didn't go away for 2 years. And it wasn't a virus. I was actually diagnosed with inflammatory bowel disease. And under the umbrella of that is ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. And I like that you talked about the distinction of, and no disease or syndrome is great. My heart goes out to anyone that's suffering with any chronic disease. But inflammatory bowel disease is an autoimmune disease that can attack anywhere in your digestive tract. And it also can have extra intestinal manifestations, and irritable bowel syndrome is no picnic in the park either, but it's more of a syndrome that can actually be somewhat more controlled through diet, stress management, and some medication.
Wow.
Yeah.
So explain what an autoimmune disease is. I know what it is, but a lot of Brains don't.
An autoimmune disease.
That can affect, let me go back a little bit, because that can affect your blood, that can affect your joints, your muscles, you know. So, yeah, tell us what that is.
Yeah. So my theory about it is, and hopefully this will, you know, get bigger as we grow with more research and everything into it. And I'm loving that functional medicine is becoming such a wonderful thing now. And I'm a functional health coach. I like to think as autoimmune, under the just the big umbrella, and under that would be like MS, rheumatoid arthritis, inflammatory bowel disease, Hashimoto's, and just all of those. But within those autoimmune, okay, it attacks different parts of your body. So MS is going to attack the myelin sheath, you know, so it's that neurological piece of it. rheumatoid arthritis is attacking, you know, the structural. And so it's kind of like your body is attacking itself in certain areas. Hashimoto's is the thyroid, right? And acting as if that part that it's attacking is not your own. So it's almost like if you had an intestinal transplant and when it rejects it. So for me, my body was rejecting and turning against my large intestine.
Wow. So that, so, you know, not being too graphic, but people want to know, did it make it hard? You know, did you have diarrhea? Did you have constipation? Did you have digestive problems? Certain foods that you just could not eat? Did you have a lot of gas, vomiting? What was the beauty?
Thank you so much for asking as well, because with intestinal diseases, and especially with this one, which really comes about in one's teen years, it sometimes peaks. There's a lot of shame with it because people don't want to talk about, you know, that part of the body, especially if you're a woman, we don't do that. But, in 1990 to 1992, I probably was going to the bathroom 30 to 40 times a day without control. Bloody stools. It was really hard. And with that, I became a prisoner of my own home. I was like this person who was just so outgoing and involved in so many things and, you know, different theaters and just had a lot of friends and a job. You know, I was worked at some pizzeria, I was like 17, but everything just fell away like one by one. And I really became a prisoner of my own home. And then I became a prisoner of the bathroom in my home. And just, I remember for about a good 3 months, I would just have my pillow and my, you know, blanket, and I would just sleep on the bathroom floor. You know, it was pretty terrible. And in those days, there really wasn't too many medications. There's some kind of different medications now that seem to be working. So I'm really happy about that for other, you know, people. But in those days, it was just basically prednisone, sulfa drugs, and Imuran, and none of them were effective, you know, for me. And every case is different. So what happened was, and I hope you don't mind them going on with that story there.
But people want to know. That's why we're having the show, because people need to know.
Thank you. I am a Jersey girl. I'm really proud of it. Born and raised, and still living there. And we're just a hop, skip, and a jump from New York City. So my New Jersey gastroenterologist, who is still my gastroenterologist today, love him deeply. And he said, you need to go to an IBD specialist in New York City. I went to Mount Sinai Hospital. That is the hospital that Crohn's disease was basically discovered by Dr. Burl Crohn's. So I went there. I went to the best, and they took one look, you know, one little scope up and said to my mom and to me, I was there, and said, you need to go home, pack your bag. She needs to get emergency surgery tomorrow, or her colon's going to perforate, you know, and she's going to die. So that was really interesting, you know, to hear at that age. But yeah, so I went home, and this is kind of, you know, what sparked my first part of my, let's say, spiritual journey. And I was a very good religious Roman Catholic girl. You know, I was raised like that, and just always went to church on Sundays. And even alone, we lived like a block and a half away from the church. And that night I went home and I packed my bags, and I remember walking, and, you know, it was really difficult to walk that block and a half, you know, because I was so debilitated. But, and because, you know, I'm Catholic, I was Catholic, so I was like, I need to go there.
So what did that actually, you know, how did that impact what you're doing as far as, you know, your healing and your recovering, springing a little bit forward, bringing a little.
Yeah. So basically, in a nutshell, it's kind of was the springboard to that awakening, you know. I kind of like went down and the doors were locked, and I kind of took it personally. And, you know, I was a teen and I was also very sick. So I left my Bible at home and I was like, I'm done, you know? And so I went through the surgery, was in a medical coma for a week. Wow. Didn't even know that. I woke up, I had a nearing death experience where I met my grandfather, who I was very close to, who died a year or two before. And I just knew that, you know, that universe, that presence was with me. So my life just became about, how am I going to serve? How am I going to serve? My life was saved for a reason and a purpose. You know, so I just began exploring anything and everything. That was like my first, you know, spiritual awakening, I would say. And, you know, just to spring it forward a little bit. And then I kind of like was better. And, you know, I had my colon removed, temporary ileostomy, a J pouch formation, and it was a horrible, terrible, crazy surgery. Was in the hospital for over a month. Okay. So everything was behind me, and I, you know, finished my undergrad in journalism, met my husband, you know, first day of college, had two kids, had a career in human resources, and
so now, as you've had all these careers, mm-hmm. all these experiences,
yeah.
that's really led you to a spiritual awakening. But you're also working with mm-hmm. people in hospice,
So
that near-death experience, is that what helped you really kind of see the light and help people go through their transition period?
No, there was a second awakening there. So, you know, I was kind of like, being a human doing, not a human being. So I was, you know, the PTA mom and doing all that, and all that stuff is great. But I was just very caught up in all of that stuff, you know, Stepford wife and whatever. And then in 2011, I had a back-to-back surgery in Mount Sinai again, and I was in the hospital for 3 months, and that really shifted things. And that was like the real true, like, sometimes if we don't listen the first time, we get the nudge the second time. And I really got shifted into your life is here for a purpose. You know, you really need to do the work. So from 2011, if you can even imagine this, to 2017, I had 5 open abdominal surgeries, and I was an inpatient 50 to 60% of those years. So for each year, I was in the hospital 50 to 60% of the year with a nasogastric tubing, a PICC line, eventually a port, being fed, total parenteral, you know, nutrition. And so my awakening came with wanting to find other ways other than ripping my own, you know, abdominal muscles open to heal myself. So that's when all this, I started reaching out. I started, you know, dabbling. What's Reiki? What's this? What's that? What's crystal healing? What's that? Let me learn it, you know, in order to kind of help myself.
So did all those things help you? Or did you find one particular thing that helped you more than others? Or was it just a combination of everything?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I actually talk to my clients about that now. There's not going to be, unless there is, you know, for someone a one thing or a one size fits all. And so I like to have a lot of tools in my tool belt to kind of say, let's find your own healing puzzle. And like, let's try this. Let's try to see if this will work and, you know, do a little bit of this and do a little bit of that and do a little of energy psychology and maybe emotional freedom technique. And all of a sudden something clicks in them and then they're like, yeah, that's it.
So what do you say to the person that is kind of going through, maybe not exactly to the extreme, you know, that you went through?
Yeah.
They're having signs and they're having symptoms. You know, there's a lot of times people are afraid to go get their colonoscopies. You know, the polyps in there, they think that they're getting something and it's wearing the lining thin inside, you know, and the colon, let me tell you, brains is awful. I heard of a situation of a person where it backed up, you know, it went the other way. So
absolutely.
Really trying to be careful with that. So you're working with people in hospice and hospice.
Yes.
Tell
us
a little bit about that and how you really kind of, found a calling to help people transition.
In 2014, from my bedside, in my as an inpatient, I said, you know, I think I want to become a social worker. You know what I mean? And I did. I did a lot of the, you know, tests and the exams as an inpatient with an NG tube, and I do not even know how I did it, honestly. Wow. But I did. But I think also to having that goal, it helped me keep moving forward. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
That's really important, having, you know, a goal, sense of purpose and stuff like that. However, my first internship, because you have to do internship and do hours, was at Robert Wood Johnson Cancer Center. Robert Wood Johnson is very big in New Jersey. And I did fall in love with that piece of it. But it was with my second year of internship where I interned at Caring Hospice, and I still, you know, do some per diem stuff there, that I just, it just kind of was like an awakening experience. When I was working at all these different skilled nursing homes and long-term care facilities, the other, you know, nurses there and social workers, they would just watch, you know, because, you know, I would sit at the bedside and just keep that presence. And they would just be like, they're like a hospice whisperer. You know what I mean? I was like, okay. So I really fell in love with that piece of it. And I think because of also, you know, that journey that I had, you know, prior to, it kind of made me comfortable with sitting with other people's suffering, pain, and also their own transition into another
When it comes to transitioning, because I don't believe that any of us really die,
but when
it comes to, you know, that you want someone to hold your hand, you want someone to understand, you want to have a conversation, you want someone to share your secrets with, you want someone to just kind of tell you it's going to be all right when you know that it's not going to be all right. You want someone to support the family.
You know,
there's a whole lot of other noise that's going on back there, and a lot of emotions rise up. So your work as a psychologist and a therapist has really helped you with that and your own personal experience. Tell my brains a little bit about what you're doing now and your coaching and how to get in contact with you.
Gosh, what am I doing now? I'm doing a whole bunch of things now, but everyone kind of, if you Google my name, everyone knows my number. So everyone knows your name, but it's 732-491-7277.
You can wait, slow.
Like
that's your call to action, honey. You got to slow down. You got to, you know, cause people are not going to rewind to get the number. Slow down. Tell me how to get you.
And how you tour you, April. 732-491-7277. And different kinds of work, and then we'll find out how we can work together. But the kinds of work that I do, teletherapy, I do work out of a group practice, and that would be, as a licensed social worker, would only be for New Jersey residents. But I am an advanced grief recovery specialist, and that kind of allows me to do the grief recovery method, like this through Zoom, which is HEPA compliant, Zoom Pro, that is. I do emotional freedom technique. I'm a practitioner and the functional health coach and all that stuff. I can do remotely as well.
All the stuff.
All the stuff.
Doing, you know what? But I just hope and pray that you always carve out just a little bit of time for you, where you're not helping someone else and you're not, you know, healing or, you know, thinking, just a little bit of time, because you have an incredible story And I'm telling you, people would not have survived it. They would have given up and given in. But you didn't give out. And so I thank you for that, Sharon. And thank you for being here with us on The Edge. Friends, okay? If she can do it, we can do it. Hang in there, okay? Don't give up. There's options, there's choices. And even if, you know, it's time, you know, to transition over, go out with grace and dignity and a cigar. So I love you, Brains, from the bottom of my heart. I really thank you so much. Thank you for being here on The Edge. Come back and let us know what you're doing. Keep us
informed.
You need to write a book, you know. I mean, it's a lot of information there that you can really share and really help with people.
Brains,
what I need for you to do is I need you to help me. I need you to go and subscribe, okay? Y'all, I got 100 episodes. I need you to subscribe. I can't even talk. Subscribe to everything, okay? LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, and this is going to be in the watch party because this is going to help somebody, you know? Again, and don't be ashamed. You can't help what's going on inside your colon and bowels, but go and get it checked. Don't ignore it, okay? Talk to you again real soon, Sharon.
Great. Thank you so much, April.
All right. Bye-bye.